I'm Hunter Highwell, and welcome back to another edition of the Full Press Islanders podcast. Unfortunately, I'm coming on here to let you know that what you already know, the Islanders, they suck. Last night was another disastrous performance, another game where they scored only one goal, another game where they just looked lifeless for most of it. They had a couple of opportunities, but that's just because they have some skill players on the team, and they just found a way to get close to the net. This game was a disaster from the beginning, and it was a game that, like I said yesterday, Ottawa has some skill players on their team, like when they went out and signed Giroux. They got Drake Batherson on their team, who scored the other goal. He's a good depth player that they have there. It's just, it was a game, though, that they could have won, because you could see it. Towards the end of the game, though, you were like, they're not scoring. How many times are you watching an Islander game when they're losing, and you're like, they're not scoring to tie this game? It was just a disaster. That's the only way to put it. It's a disaster. And now we've lost 10 of our last 11 games. They're now 2-8-3 since the beginning of the new year. And Lamoriello did a press conference before the game yesterday and said, "Of course it's my responsibility. Of course it's on me." Well, thank you for realizing that, Lou. And I see that the Islanders also yesterday, they're calling St. Louis about Tarasenko because their season is not going great. Then Ryan O'Reilly's already talking about how I want to stay, I don't want to leave. So the one piece that the Blues can get would be move Tarasenko. Get him out of there because Vlad's always talked about wanting to leave there anyway. So this could be his opportunity. But now the Islanders are backing themselves deeper and deeper into the corner. Because I know every team wants to make that move at the deadline that puts them over the top. But right now, the Islanders, they're not in a position to put them over the top. They're looking at a move to, hey, let's make the playoffs. And I know the Islanders have a goalie like Sorokin who could just win a series by himself. And if they get a guy like Tarasenko to add to the power play, because I'm fully convinced that the Islanders are never going to score a power play goal again. They had a couple more opportunities last night, like in the second period after they went down 1-0. I'm thinking to myself, hey, get this power play, get a goal here, tie the game, settle the bench, get things moving in the right direction, and then take the game over. It just seems like the Islanders are handed a lot of these opportunities, these power plays throughout the last couple of weeks. Like there were a couple of power plays against Boston last Wednesday where they're up 1-0. They're given a power play. Step on them. And I know it's Boston, and they're the best team in the NHL. But you're given an opportunity to put them down. You're given an opportunity last night against Ottawa to put them down, to tie the game. Like, push back a little bit. It just, it always seems like the Islanders, they're always just falling apart. It's one of the more frustrating bad years I've ever seen. And it's not like this team is having, oh, when you look at the record, they're just a middling pack team. But when you think about that, they've lost 10 of their last 11 games. And the thing is, remember a couple years ago when Philadelphia had a 10-game losing streak? And everybody's like, how can you lose 10 straight games? But they went 0-3-7. They got 7 points in those 10 games that they lost. So it wasn't like they were losing ground in the standings. The Islanders are not even doing that. They're losing in regulation a lot. They've only had a couple of overtime losses, and they had one shootout loss, and they had a few overtime losses, one to Washington, and then they had one the other night to Buffalo. And last night's loss got them to 6 straight losses, but in this span of losing 10 out of 11, they have 5 points, but 6 straight losses for the Islanders. Like, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And that's why I bring it back to Tarasenko. They have to figure this thing out now because it's not about getting over the top. It's about saving the season. There's no more, hey, let's just get a couple more wins here and get to the trade deadline. We're getting to the All-Star break and the Islanders are falling further back and back. Let's say Washington beats Pittsburgh tonight and Buffalo wins. The worst case scenario is if Washington and Pittsburgh go to overtime. That is worst case scenario, and Buffalo wins. Because everybody's just separating themselves from us. As they keep losing, the Flyers are winning again. Because now the Flyers, everybody's laughing at them. We're almost in Flyer range. They're catching up to us. Lou needs to act, and he needs to act fast. And when I say act, I'm not saying make another call-up. I'm not saying, and I'm really not trying to get on these younger guys that are coming up into this pretty much meltdown that the Islanders are having, because they're having a meltdown. I'm not getting on them because it's a tough spot to grab somebody who was playing in the AHL or juniors last year, putting them right in the middle of a free fall in the NHL season with a bunch of guys around the age of 30 and be like, hey, kid, go out there and fix it. That's not going to happen. They're not generational talents. The guys that they're calling up, like Boldick, Cholowski, Wotherspoon, they're guys that are going to be like, they're going to be good NHLers, but they're depth pieces. They're not superstars. They're not your Connor Bedards. They're not even like Oliver Wahlstrom, who has been overall as an Islander. But at least when he came up here, you could see that you had to keep an eye on him. He was making a difference, and they need him back so bad. If they're able to get Wahlstrom and then Tarasenko, have Wahlstrom be that second or third line winger and be a good guy on the power play. And then Tarasenko obviously moves into that Barzal spot. But a lot of these guys they're calling up, another guy like Simon Baldick and Holmstrom, like these guys, they're good. They're good players. But they're not going to be franchise-changing players, especially now because they're being thrown into this role of, hey, get us out of this rut. Now, let's talk about a guy like Simon Holmstrom, where he looks overall good. But the thing is, the fan base is getting frustrated with him because he's not supposed to be at that top level yet. He's supposed to be growing. He's still 22 years old. This is his 15th NHL game. He has 2 goals. You can see, though, he has the ability to play in the NHL. He's not just a passenger, but that shot is still developing. His IQ is still developing of where I need to be effective. And it also frustrates me, too, that I see Atu Ratu. You see, this is another thing. Ratu looks like he's going to be a top-level player in the NHL. He has that it factor. Kind of when you just watch a guy, you know, hey, he's going to be something. He's one of those guys. When you watch him, he's always making a difference, but he's playing down on the fourth line. He's not a fourth line center. When you have a fourth line center, that's why you have a guy like Casey Cizikas. And I like Cizikas playing up in the lineup, but Ratu just has more skill than Cizikas. Casey's really good at being that fourth line center because when you look at a guy like Matt Martin or Clutterbuck, who I know is hurt now, but like Ross Johnston, those guys, they're not the most skilled players in the NHL, but they're comfortable playing with a fourth line center because they all do the same thing. Chip it in, work, just cycle around, outwork your opponent, make sure you hit them and that you tire down the other team. Hopefully you get their first line caught out there and you could just cycle around them, get them tired a little bit. But when you're putting Ratu there and you're telling a guy who's used to making these flashing moves and these great passes and getting to the net and making these highlight reel goals, and then you're telling him, hey, get that puck to the corner and get off the rink, you're just capping him. You're just not letting him grow. You're not letting him do what's made him successful to get that call up in the first place. The comparison to me would be like, let's say you get Tom Brady and tell him, you're now a running quarterback. Well, that doesn't make any sense. The reason why he's the best of all time is because he throws the ball really well. Really dumbed down example, but that's what it is. You're telling Atu Ratu, hey, you're really good at making moves, using your hands, using your speed, but I want you to not do that. Okay, forget what made you a good hockey player, and let's do all the things that'll make you a bad hockey player. Chip it in deep, grind out a shift, work really hard, get the puck to the front of the net. No! We have to let the kids play. And I know Lambert comes from Trotz, who really like that veteran, gritty type of atmosphere around the team. But with these younger players, you have to just let them ride. You have to let them do what's made them great and gotten them to this point. Because honestly, I would just let them ride out now. Because what you're doing now hasn't worked. Telling them to just get it deep and get off is not working. And it's good to see guys like Nelson. He's starting to come around. You knew he wasn't going to be that bad for that long. He's too talented to be that bad for that long. But Josh Bailey, like, what is he doing? Has anybody else just not noticed him at all? I have not noticed him at all. These last couple of games, it's like you look at the game notes and you're like, he's out there? Josh Bailey's actually played in these last few games? And Beauvillier, too. Man, he has got to step up. He had that one shift at the end of the first period in the Toronto game where he threw it on net and Lee pumped it into the net. That's it. Other than that, the guys that we really need to step up in Beauvillier, Bailey, Barzal. Like, Barzal's been skating around and he's been buzzing, but he's not scoring. All the goals in the last few games are coming from Nelson and Lee. Lee had two in Toronto. Nelson had one last night. Nelson had another goal in the game before Toronto. Like, all the goals are coming from the same place. You need to chip in. And I'm not even going to bring up the goaltending because Varlamov, like, what more do you want him to do? I say, you give up two goals on the road. Like, all you're asking is for an NHL roster to score three goals. Like, that's not that. At least get a second one to get it to overtime. I mean, come and throw the guy a bone. Do something for him. He's working hard out there for you. And it wasn't like the Senators did anything spectacular last night either. Ottawa just played a simple game of, hey, we got two goals. Let's just not let them get two. It was an incredible strategy. And Ottawa, I did say this yesterday. They have this knack to them. They're very, very skilled, but they don't have that grit to them. But they're a good team, and they're looking to take that next step. And the problem is with them is I know the Metro is so competitive, and we always say the Metro is the best division. But when you're in a division where you're playing over and over again, Toronto, Tampa, and Boston, like, that's a freaking gauntlet, man. That is hard. And now you have Buffalo in the Atlantic as well. It's not as if their schedule is some easy cupcake. And also, if you look at the rest of the Eastern Conference, you have the rest of the Metro in there. It is not easy for the Senators to really take that next step because there's so many good teams now in the Eastern Conference. And that's the same problem the Islanders are running into. There's so many good and deep teams. But the thing is that's made the Islanders so successful over the last 5 years is that they were the good, skilled, and deep team. They were the team that you didn't want to play. Now the Islanders are back to being the get-right game. And it doesn't have to be that way for long. You can make a trade for Tarasenko, and then you can just kind of ease everybody else back in. You can hopefully get Wahlstrom back soon. You can ease these rookies in, like Ratu, Holmstrom. You can take a little bit of load off of them, because I honestly feel like that they're just gripping their sticks too tight because there's so much pressure on them. Because maybe they're not getting pressure on them. Like, Lambert's not going up to them and like, hey, man, you need to step up because we need you. But maybe it's, like, internal pressure of, like, hey, these guys that have been here, they're not doing it, so I need to do it. And they're trying harder, and it's not working, and the frustration is growing. Whatever they need to do it fast. Because last night's performance is just flat-out unacceptable. We'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Full Press Islanders. I'll be previewing the Detroit Red Wings, taking a look at what's been going on over there. It's been a very up-and-down season, a lot of storylines around Detroit, especially with their captain Dylan Larkin, if he's going to be back or not. But the Iser plan, it is in full effect, and the Red Wings are starting. They're pretty much right where the Senators are. They're in that one step before they complete their rebuild. They're right there. But they just need to fine-tune a couple more things and they'll be there. And they're dangerous. And the Islanders are coming home and they need a win bad. So we'll preview that game tomorrow, what's going on with Detroit. And hopefully when I talk to you, we'll be in a little bit more of a better headspace because the teams that we need to lose will lose. Because now it's playoff time and we're talking about who's going to make it. But until tomorrow, this is Hunter Highwell with the Full Press Islanders Podcast.